tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen, amen, and amen. To be a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire? And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from Revelation 3, and we'll read the first six verses. We have a kind of an update on Brother Ron Spencer. They said he was doing well this week. His lungs seems to be getting better and all, but now there's a prayer request for a Adam Fraser. Said it's Sister Connie's cousin. He became very sick. They thought he had meningitis, and they really don't know for certain. So just remember that little Adam Fraser, and just remember to pray for him. He's 12 years old. And I know you already have, but remember to pray for Sister Kathy and Sister Mary Gabriel. And just remember, the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday. Now, we'll be leaving my house at about 10 o'clock to make sure that all of the traffic won't be giving us any problems and all like that. And, you know, so just if you want to go, make sure you let us know ahead of time where we can be prepared. All right? Revelations 3, 1 through 6. Father, we thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace. Thank you for all things. We're so glad that you give them to us freely, because we wouldn't know what kind of a price, and we as humans couldn't afford it. We couldn't pay it, because it took the God of glory to pay our price. We thank you for the revelation of thy word, and we just ask you to come tonight and speak to our hearts, and just let your light shine in each one of us, and teach us to wait upon you, Lord, and knowing that by waiting upon you, then you'll make manifest what we have need of. Guide each one. Remember the sick among us. You promised it. You said, I sent my word and healed them and delivered from destruction. So we're depending upon that, Lord. As we read your word, we're depending upon you, because no one is worthy to even to look on the book, let alone to read it, unless we ask your permission first. So, Lord, just come and have your way now and guide us. Forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. And unto the angel of the church of in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I may not get as much tonight, so make sure you bring back your church age books for Sunday, because we probably won't be reading as much tonight as I thought we would on the message, because I want to make sure you're understanding what I'm saying, and then we can cover the things and all. But now, if you don't have a church age book, we have some new ones back in the office back in where Brother Joe is. So if anybody needs one, raise your hands, and Terrence will go back there and get you one, and all like that. But we'll only be reading just little sketches from it tonight, because I got to speaking on it, and then some people asked questions and said some things, and it made me to understand then that, you know, that I need to cover one thing maybe for us to understand. And see, it says there in the fifth verse, we've been through the salutation of the age, and then we went started on the overcomer to the age. And it says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, we went through a good bit Sunday afternoon and talking about the two books. You know, the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. So we went through covering two books, you know, to make sure that you would understand, and, you know, and went through the doing and saw that it was one book, but with two sections. Now, after studying on it some more, I got to thinking about it, and maybe I need to cover it this way. Really, to me, there is at least three sections to the book of life that needs to be covered. All right, and so we'll go through that tonight. But what I want you to see is, what is the book of life? It is the Bible.
Amen.
All right?
Right.
It is the Bible. Everybody understand that? That's what I'm talking about. The book of life is the Bible.
Amen.
The prophet said only names are written in the book of life. Right? It's the Bible.
Right.
Right? Then the Bible, see, if you don't, this is the only way, now I'm just as honest as I can be, the only way I can follow through and see the Bible in complete order and see the things and what it says about the Lamb's book of life, the book of life, the book of the living, thy book that we read about there Sunday in the church age book, the only way I can understand it is to see that it's in sections or, you know, parts, because like the word section really just means it's one of a number of parts that can be fitted together to make a whole picture, in other words. You know, like a book or anything. It's in sections. We'll call it chapters, but chapters are not enough to be able to understand what I want us to understand about the Bible, which is the book of life.
Right.
All right. And see, in doing that, then we'll talk tonight on sections of the book of life. So that'll be the title of it, sections, you know. Anybody out there don't understand that word, S-E-C-T-I-O-N-S, sections. I'm misunderstood about wording sometimes. But to me, to look at the Bible and see that it reveals an overall view. See? You say, well, the Bible now, it's got a lot of things in it. But it's also got names written in it. The name's not every name that's on the earth, you know, is written in the Bible. No, no. See? But yet it's written about the time that every name is in the Bible. And the prophet said, Armand Neville's not in the Bible. But what happens in the time of Armand Neville is in the Bible, so that puts his name right into the book. Alright, now the prophet said that it was the believers in the book. You know, that's who we are. We're the believers in the book. And that's why I'm trying to get you to see so much about the book of Revelations is the book written to you. Especially to the end time people that would get the understanding. And it's a very wonderful book. I was talking with the girl that cuts my hair today, and she just asked me a couple of questions about kind of what we believed. And she was not sarcastic about it. She said, I've really never heard. I said, well, I figured you'd heard with a bunch of nuts and all kind of things, but I began to go through a lot of things, and I began to talk to her about the book of Revelation, that it was very simple to understand. She said, well, it's hard for me to read, you know. I said, yeah, but you're trying to figure out what it's talking about. Instead of seeing it's talking about you. I said, if you'd ever get to the point to realize the whole Bible is talking about you, it'll help you a whole lot to read the Bible then. Because you can see that it's... And I said, the book of Revelation is written especially for the end time. You know, where we're at here upon the earth. It's our book to be able to read and understand. But it's the Bible you're talking about. The Bible is the one that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. That's not just a book of names and then the Bible somewhere else. You know, when he goes and takes the Lamb's book of life, the book of life or book of the living, or what you want to call it, that's the Bible. Because it's the complete record of man upon the earth. All right? The Bible is the complete record. It shows the beginning of man. It shows the ending of man. All right? And in doing that, see, then you're not looking at something, and we'll, when we get over to Revelation 4 and all, and the hand, the book of the hand, the one sitting on the throne, that's the Bible.
Right.
You said, well, is it this King James? Or see, now don't get carnal.
Right.
See? It's the Bible.
Amen. Right.
I thank God for the King James. I believe in that.
Right.
But it's the Bible you're talking about. I believe the King James is what God intended for it to be before the foundation of the world. Now, that's the way I believe it. That's how much I believe in the King James. I believe we have, as the prophet said, the perfect interpretation of the Bible. The, you know, with divine vindication, he said, and God vindicated him preaching from the King James Version. All right. But you understand what I'm talking about now, the book of life. I'm talking about, there he said, I won't blot out his name out of the book of life. But then we'll get to it. When we get down to it, we'll find out there is people whose names will be taken out of the book of life. Before we ever start, there's not one name can ever be taken out of the section called the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
All right? It can't be done, because that's but that's why it says, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. See? Because we've got to understand then, and that's why I chose to use not sections of the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to talk about sections of the Book of Life. And then that way we can go into the Lamb's Book of Life section and understand, or we can stay in the Book of Life section and understand, and we can understand the natural records of the human mankind. You know that the book of Esther is, it doesn't have the word God in the book of Esther. And it's there as a record of the children of Israel. Yeah. But its part was put there because of that record, see, showing the wonderful things and all of the Word. But yet the Bible, see, shows our downfalls, followed about the children of Israel. It shows how bad they was this way, but then it'll show how good they were this way, you know. One chapter he's throwing off on them, the next chapter he's bragging on them. One chapter he's showing how some of them are eternally separated. And the other chapter he's showing how some die and are taken to glory by chariots or whatever, you know. Because it's the Bible. The Bible is the book of life. Alright. So now with that approach to it, see, we'll talk about it as sections. And like I said, now I want this understood. This is the only way I can understand the Bible purely to clearly to understand. Is to understand it by seeing it in sections. That it does show the natural mankind. It does show the towers of Babel, falling down back there, but showing the towers falling down up here in New York, right in the Bible. But it shows at the same time that the light of the moon would be the light of the sun, and the light of the sun would be seven times its strength. All right? So it shows the natural things. But then it shows you and I in our lives. It showed the disciples in how that they begun by listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, how they came through justification by believing on the Lord, accepting what He had to say, and they became, you know, over to sanctification. See? The unclean spirit being driven out and all. But then we get in there to find out Judas rejected the Lord, and his name, the prophet said, was removed out of the book of life. But his name never was in the Lamb's book of life. Because names cannot be removed from that section, because that's the eternal section of God's Word. There is part of God's Word that's eternal. Now, understand me, now listen. He's talking about eternity. There's part of the God's Word that's just talking about natural things. And showing you life and how everything's going on. That's what the Bible is. And that's the book of life. All right. See, in that way then we can understand and cover the things the prophet had to say about it. So now let's just go and pick up a little bit. If you have your church age book, look at it's the bottom of the page, 279. I ask you to read from about 262 or 3 over to 280-something in the church age book, because we'd be dealing with this, and I don't want to read so much, so forgive me if I just go halfway and stop just to get the point, because I'm wanting you to get the point that the prophet spoke of the book of life as being in sections. Sections. I want that point to be in your mind so that you'll understand. So he says on the bottom paragraph or bottom line, let us go another step. Before we do, let us review our case thus far. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be into judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Romans 4 and 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But indeed she shall be with him and in his throne of judgment, judging the world. And even angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now, written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, we'll get into Sunday going through the stages that he's talking about. Drop on over to 282 and look about the middle of the, just save reading. We'll read these later now, but just save it. I'm just getting these points in. And you'll see the little bitty small letters going across. Being predestinated according to his purpose, of whom who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Thus, if God has so designed that there be those whose names are placed in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased, for they are the names of the bride, then we must accept that. So now he's used sections again. All right, go over to page 283, middle paragraph, where it says, Now then, the record of this wheat plant, whose end is to be reproduce the original seed in multiplied form, is the book of life. I repeat, the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life, of which a part of the book of life is the record of eternal life, a section of the book of life. He said, this is convincingly seen by examining the wheat plant. Now, we'll get back to that and cover those things in the time, maybe Sunday. And we'll try to go through the four stages of people. One where your name can be put in the Lamb's Book of Life, can never be removed. One section to where that it's your name can be put in the first would be the Lamb's Book of Life. The second section would be the Book of Life is called. Your name can be on that and removed off of that. Your name is put onto that book because of what you do. But it's not put on the Lamb's Book of Life because of what you do. It was put on there before the foundation of the world. Then there's a group of people that their names will be removed from the Book of Life. But never can it be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no way. See, then it's said that there'll be to where that there's a section covers that their names are not written nowhere. Now, Brother Brown said, surely there is a record, we'll read it Sunday, of life. You know, there's a record. God has a record. So then we'll deal with that. But now, you remember when we were in the, it's right on the top of the right-hand side of the page, 267. It says, to begin with, there is no basis for the claims that the Lamb's Book of Life is not the same as the Book of Life. The Book of Life might be called the Lamb's Book of Life, or Christ's Book of Life, or even Thy Book and Book of the Living. Only names are written in it. All right. Now, so let's cover them four things that he talked about in the Bible so that you'll see what it's talking about. So, all right, let's go to the Lamb's Book of Life first. Go to Revelation 13. And we'll just show that The prophet knew what he was talking about in doing, you know, the scripture. He gave some of these, but some of them he didn't give. That's the reason I'm just going to the point of using it. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now watch. Of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now that one is the book of life of the Lamb. Or as the prophet calls it, the Lamb's book of life. Alright, Revelation 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now he's covering the same book, because your prophet gave that on that page number I gave you. He gives these two as the Lamb's book of life, all right? The Revelation 17, verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall descend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they shall behold, they behold the beast which was and is and yet is not. All right? So now these are dealing. Go to Revelations 21, verse 27. Revelations 21, verse 27. And thou shalt in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Alright? So now there's your Lamb's book of life, a section. The Lamb's book of life. Alright? Now we'll go to the book of life. See, that's the Lamb's book of life now. Go to the book of life, which is Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12. You'll see in verse 11, while you're getting there, and I saw a great white throne. This is the white throne judgment. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books. Now we'll get back to that same scripture in a minute. So notice it says books, plural. Stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. So now you got books, and another book was opened. And the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now notice there's a covering of works here, a record of works. All right. Now, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right. Now there's your book of life. All right. While you're in Revelation, go to Revelation. We just read Revelation 3:5, okay? I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Didn't say Lamb's book of life, said book of life. All right. Go to Revelation 22 and verse 19. Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So now there's your book of life. Go to Philippians 4. The hardest book for me to find. Philippians 4 and verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke feller, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Right. So now, three times it talks of the Lamb's Book of Life. We read four times that it speaks of the Book of Life. Now let's read where it speaks of thy book. Because the prophet said, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life, Book of Life, thy book. And I could not find a scripture where it talks about Christ's Book of Life. Now you can find Book of Life, but the prophet, when we read it there, if you notice, he said, can be called Christ's Book of Life. Now, I couldn't find anything that literally said that point, so I stuck with this. Go to Exodus 32. In verse 32. Excuse me. I wrote that down wrong, so forgive me. Grapes. I missed that one. I'll get that one later for you. But it says, thy book. Yeah, it'd be better for me getting Exodus. See, you got some new glasses. I got a marker or something on it. I got some new glasses. 32. All right. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And that's called thy book. Now you know for assuredly who Moses was referring to.
Amen, right.
Thy book would have been the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? But it's called thy book. All right? While you're there, go to Psalms 56. I'm just getting these into your mind where you'll see the prophet knows exactly what he's talking about. And he was right into the scripture with what he was saying. It can be called this, it can be called this. 56 verse 8. Now that for certain I wrote down wrong. And that wasn't my glasses. Well, 56 8. Yeah. Okay. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? All right. Now I go over to 139:16, and that's a very familiar one with all of us. In continuance was my members fashioned. See? All right. Psalms 139, because we all know that one. In verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, or unperfect, excuse me, and in thy book, which means incomplete, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now you know that in thy book is referring to Lamb's Book of Life, written before the foundation of the world. I'm just trying to get that point across to each one. Now the Book of the Living, look in Psalms. Let me make sure this one's right. Psalm 69. I know what this is about, but... Psalm 69, verse 28. You can go back and read the whole thing, but Psalm 69, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. All right. Now, the book of the living can be talking about the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's also talking about the Book of Life because it's talking about the living. See? The living part. All right. Now, we went through covering that the prophet said it's written in sections. We went through and been through much of it. We're like Daniel. When you come to the white throne at Daniel 7 and Revelation 20, that is the white throne judgment. And there's books. Books, plural. At that place. And I gave you one quote, which is number one on your notes, just to show you that the prophet said the judgment was set and books were open. Is that right? Books of sinners. The white throne judgment, there's going to be books. In other words, they're going to be books of your natural life if you don't repent. Alright? There's going to be books there to give record of what you and I do in that. And says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And every man was judged. Like I said, when you go to Daniel now, I'm trying to save time reading for a point. But Daniel 7, we'll understand, and Revelation 20 is the white throne judgment. There's no mentioning of the Lamb's book of life being at the white throne judgment. It is mentioned that the book of life. Because at the white throne judgment, people can be cast into hell and people can be given eternal life. All right. The Lamb's book of life is the one sitting on the throne. So we're going to sit in the throne, as the prophet would say, in the throne with him judging everyone else at the white throne judgment, right? We've been through that over and over enough so we ought to understand. We don't have to stand before the white throne judgment. If you're standing before the white throne judgment, you do not have eternal life. If you think you've got to go to the white throne judgment, you don't have eternal life. Now, there is a judgment of deeds done in the body we'll get to later. But we're only dealing now with this part. Because I want you to stick with this part here. See, books were there. Books of sinners. Records. When you go to court, you know, they go in there, they spend weeks, months, and years sometimes preparing a case, right? Because they want everything in order. And they bring out all the material. And I sit over there on little old pity things that didn't mean nothing. We finally got to asking questions. You know, a guy comes in and admits he's guilty. Why have you got to go before a grand jury to decide to go get a bill against him or not if he admits he's guilty? That's the silly laws we have in the land. You got to give him that chance. He can back out for her, change his mind, do something, you know. So you have to do those things, you know, and keep it in order. But see, but listen. The white throne judgment, the Lamb's book of life is not mentioned, but the book of life is mentioned. All right? Now, by the book of life being mentioned, it's there. The book of life. What is the book of life? Now, let's go down through the line just a little bit and just prove the point what we're talking about. We read from first one is questions and answers, 1953:7-29, where you're talking about books, sinners, you know, at the white throne. Then he goes to 10 virgins, and he says, paragraph 198 of the 10 virgins, 1960, 12:11 in the morning. And here comes these up. The books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. Now, the first book was the book of the sinner that was cast away. All right? He's condemned to begin with. See, that's where you got your sheep and goats and etc. All right? Go on down to the next one, which is questions and answers, 1954:103 of the morning service. Paragraph 74, go to the last paragraph, and he came to him in Daniel, whose hair was white as wool, like you see him in Revelation 1, to the Ancient of Time. And the judgment was said, and the books were opened, books, plural, were opened, and every man was judged out of the books, the things which was written therein. Look, the books were opened. He saw him coming, and 10,000 come 10,000, and the books were opened. That's the book of life. All right. So now you've got the book of life at the white throne judgment. But I repeat, you do not have the Lamb's book of life section at the white throne judgment. Because that's sitting on the throne. You are the book that's on the throne. All right. Now, then doing that. See? Then all right. Now, let's get to a little point, and then it may be interesting in a minute. And I know it's hard sometimes to just reading and saying things, and then I'll try to get back to make it a little more interesting in a minute as to what we're talking about. Right? And then that way it'll pick up some that maybe is not understanding. According to the message on communion, let's go down with the one in communion, take it. Communion 1965:12:12. Like in the book here, and the spot there we was talking about, and the two books being one, the book of life, The first book of life coming up was when you were born. That was your natural birth. All right. Now, you go on over to Invisible Union, and he talks about the first life of your first union was joined in earth by a birth by natural nature. All right. Now, let's get down to some serious thinking. People who go to the white throne judgment will be judged, right? According to their works. According to what they've done in their life. That's why that there is no such thing at this point as a burning hell. Because the prophet said you got to be judged first. There's nobody in hell now. In the form of what we call it. They're not there. They're in a holding place under the fifth dimension, which is an endless falling and all et cetera things, all kind of problems, but it's not a burning thing right now. That'll be eventually when death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. See, that's your prophet talking about it. All right. But see, your natural life when you was born, the prophet says God puts a tape on. You know, things start being recorded when you reach the age of accountability. And not when you're first born. When you reach the age of accountability, then God begins to record your sin to you. Keeps a record. Now that's for everybody in the world. See, I know what the people of the message teach. Well, I always was eternal and there ain't no records made against me and all. You're got your problems. You better deal with a lot of things. But what I'm trying to get you to see, the Bible shows your problems. The Bible shows you were born in sin, shaping an iniquity, I'm quoting scripture now, espoused from your mother's womb, a liar, going forth, it shows all of our problems, it showed all the problems of Israel, as I said a while ago. It shows all of our lives, because that's a section of the Bible. That's a section of the book of life. Alright, now because you've got the eternal section, but now you've got the book of life section. Which can cover natural life. Alright? But if you don't repent, then that will meet you at judgment. Alright? The white throne judgment now. We're not talking about the bride now. I've told you over and over, the bride don't stand before the white throne judgment. She sits on the throne with him. Alright? But the rest of the world will have to come to the white throne judgment. Your prophet says, foolish virgins, fifth sealed Jew, all of that is in the church age book we'll get back to. Even the 144,000, he covers it that way. But I don't understand that part, but still I understand the truth of it. See? And I know the prophet makes a lot of statements of things that has to be put in, and a lot of people don't put in all the statements. I was running on the Lamb's Book of Life, and notice Brother Branham said, your Lamb's Book of Life begins when you hear start on earth and in your birth. See? He didn't have any trouble talking like that, and neither do I, because I know what I'm talking about. But it was written before the foundation of the world. That's what we'll get to in a minute now. So, all right. Now, Sunday afternoon, we covered the two books. And talking on the two books, we were talking about the Book of Life of the Lamb slain before the foundation, the eternal section. But then speaking of the book of life. Now, natural records are kept of each and every one of us, and that's why we must repent. If we don't repent, the record's still going. Right. Now, I want to hold that to a point till in a minute, and then I'll come back to it, okay? So just don't run too much ahead of me, because I know where it goes, and I've got the rest of the notes written. So just hold on to what I'm saying now. But we found out Sunday then that your name, the prophet said, goes on the book of life when you become a part of a religious order. And that's in the church age book, which is 272 of the church age book, number 6 on your notes. And I'm sure that you have noticed that those whose names were in the book of life were a part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him. Now, I said it like this, and I think it was misunderstood. I said, like the Baptists, the Methodists, etc., the churches. But what I'm talking about now, listen. So I'll express it straight to the point. Everybody that walks down the aisle of a church and shakes hands with a preacher, their name is not written in the book of life. The name is written in the book of life, the prophet said, when you become part of the religious order centered around the worship of the day. He goes on down to the next one, which is questions and answers, 1954, 515, and he's spoken about now the last paragraph part of it. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, the sanctified believer that hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Number 8, he goes down and tells you how your name goes on the book. What book? If you are born again Christian tonight, your name was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Alright? But when you come into a natural life, see now, that's all people want to deal with. My name was in the Lamb's book of life, huh? But also your name is written in the book of life. When you become to the work, to sanctification, that's what your prophet says on questions and answers, 1964, 830, paragraph 1125. Sanctification is when your name goes on the book as a believer. Now listen, he's not talking about the Lamb's book of life. Because your name goes on the Lamb's book of life, the eternal section, before the foundation of the world. But when you come into the natural life, and that's why I said, now, not every person that signs a card, joins a church, their names are not written in the book of life. It's those who come to a religious state of sanctification. So you can see that most people's names are not even written nowhere, hardly. You can see that the biggest portion of the religious world don't teach sanctification. Am I right? Did you know anything about it when you was out there before you come in the message? No. You heard the word, but you didn't know what sanctification was. Right? See, because it's a religious order centered around the worship of God. All right. So then somebody said, well, does all churchgoers, no, not all churchgoers don't have their name put in the book of life. But those who reach, not even those that are justified, you know, come to a state of repentance. Just repentance doesn't put your name on the book. It's got to come to sanctification. Amen. To write your name in the book. That's what your prophet said. Now you'll have to argue with him about it. Huh? But now listen. See, then when we come into the world as natural people, now here's where it ought to start getting interested, even to those who don't understand our terminologies or something, talking. See, when you come into the world as a person, a human, you was lost. There's no such thing as coming into the world saved. But Brother Dale, I got quotes where I always was eternal. Yeah, and there's a whole lot more where the prophet said you begin eternal life at the altar. Put them together now. Put them together. No, I don't want that one. I'll just take this one. Well, that's the way the churches do. Alright? But see, when you come to the altar and repent of your sins, that chops off your past sins. That's what we call justification. All right, now, here's your book that you've been living by. Here's your record that's recorded. Here's what was put on when you reach the age of accountability. When you repent, and it's true genuine now, we're not talking about shaking hands with a preacher and putting onions in the eye to cry. No. We're talking about genuine now. When your repentance is genuine, God chops off your past sins. So the old book is gone of your record of your life. Alright? Now that don't give you salvation today. That just wipes the slate clean. Then you come into what would be called about the religious order, sanctification. Dealing with everyday life, dealing with living, dealing with the Word being planted. And thank God, that's what Jesus was doing. He was planting the Word into the disciples to sanctify them.
Right.
Because they were washed by the water of the Word. All right. Made into an order of sanctification. So then when we come into the world and that record is made of us, when I repented of my sins, that record's gone. I'll never have to answer for that. That's why it's not what mom and daddy done. In the Old Testament, you had visited iniquity, etc. Like a bastard child couldn't come into the congregation for 10 generations, you know. But that's not so today now. It ain't what mom and daddy done. You and I are an individual. So when we come to the state of repentance of our sins, alright, then by repentance of our sins, wiped away the slate. Made you pure and clean. But it doesn't do anything to your future. Now I'm on page 15, 16, future home. Read it. Alright. Listen to the tape, future home. These are almost word and verbatim words. Alright. You see, that doesn't do anything to your future. So you go right on, you're having problems, your troubles. But then you start getting to a place of sanctification. And that's when your name goes on the book. Well, what do I need my name on the book when I got my name on the Lamb's book? I'll ask you a question. Why would your prophet on Invisible Union talk about a name being transferred? Now, come on. We used it Sunday. I wonder how many noticed it. That's page 32 of the Invisible Union. And your old book is gone with your old union. Now your name is in your has been transferred. Now what's he talking about? Because what happens is there's a section of the book of life that covers your natural life. I keep coming back to this because I want you to think about it. But when you realize that you're lost and you want to be saved and you ask God to forgive you, you repent of your sins, that wipes that slate clean. If it's true, genuine that you repented, it wipes that slate clean. There's nothing in your life you'll ever have to give an account for. That's behind you. But now what you do from there on, then you become accountable in a higher order. Before, you was accountable as a sinner. Lost and doomed. Now you're becoming moving up toward a religious order. Now you're more accountable than ever. How well do I remember it when I used to, as I said many times to you, that I never drank in my life, never cared anything about it. I was 18 years old before I was converted. I'd haul people around to get their beer, and I'd drive on off and leave them. It didn't bother me. It didn't make my mouth water for them drinking their beer. It made me sick. You know, to smell the stuff and all of that. They say you got to learn to like beer, and I never did, so I can tell you a lot of other things that looks like. That I don't like. Alright? Now, but listen. When I become into a place that I joined the Baptist church and begin to walk in the Lord, it didn't bother me too much about people drinking, because I understood it. But you know, after I come into this message and begin seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which I didn't come into the message like everybody else says, I know I got the Holy Ghost because I come to the message. I come to the message for 2 years. I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And during that 2 years, you know, I'd see somebody drink a beer, my mouth would water. See? Why? I become accountable for my life. My life was bothering me. Or maybe before my mouth might have watered, but I didn't pay no attention because it didn't matter. I thought I was thirsty and go get me a Coke. Wade knows this is true. This is way on even later that we moved our hunting camp. You know, Brother Dean was with us, Brother Collie, and all. We moved our, Brother Al and all. We moved our camping area up to where the others were, and Wade said, "Don't do it, Daddy." He said, "They drank us." I told them, they apologized. The men were nice to us. They apologized. They said, "Sam, we don't want to drink in front of you." I said, "Listen, you're what you are. You better drink your beer, drink your liquor. That doesn't bother me. Just make sure you give me a Dr. Pepper. When you pop a top of your beer, pop me a Dr. Pepper. You know, something where we can sit down and drink." Because I said, "Because that's your life. That's not mine." And you know, they never did give us any trouble. Never was anything said about it, smartetically or anything. They were nice. But you see, I've become to accountable condition because I was walking in the Lord. And see, your name goes on the book. Now, not on the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name, if it's ever been on the Lamb's Book of Life, it was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever begun. But I'll say this much. There's no way you could have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, eternal section, unless you first come by the fact that your name was written in the Book of Life when you become a religious order. The section called the Book of Life, which is the Book of the Living. See, don't bypass these things. "Oh, I always was eternal. I don't need no salvation." Well, you don't have any. Plain? See, because we've got to come to God's provided way. And God's provided way was He kept a record of what our lives were. And when we said, "God, forgive us." See, that went into the sea of forgetfulness. You won't have to answer for that part. What you've done back behind there, that's all gone. But then God starts keeping a record of you now. When you're coming from justification, sanctification, up toward the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as you did, your name is in the Book of Life. Written there. That's where we'll get to it Sunday. Judas came that way too. And his name was written in heaven. Jesus said, "Rejoice not, you know, that the several devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Judas Iscariot come to the same position of justification, to have his name written in the Book of Life. But his name never was in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there you got Peter and all the rest of them whose names were in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they had to come through the fact of a religious order, their names be put on the Book of Life. Why? Because you got to realize what the prophet's talking about. See, the day you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you didn't immediately recognize your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, did you? You didn't even know anything about it, maybe, until you come in the message. Was not even concerned about Lamb's Book of Life or Book of Life or any kind of book until you come into the message. Because you didn't know how to put the scriptures together. But then when you begin to hear the prophet's message and the growth development after the new birth, because the new birth is when, not that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, no. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But it's when you begin to recognize your name was written there. You begin to realize what is going on. When you begin to hear the message, you begin to realize that the prophet is talking about something that we didn't talk about. We thought we'd all go into the white throne and get judged, and then we'd go up to heaven and live with Him for 3.5 years, and then we're going through the millennium and live 1,000 years as good eternal people, then we're going to come back to judgment and have to be decided whether we're going to heaven or not. Now come on, that's exactly what every one of us believed. You say, "I didn't know what I believed." That's exactly the trouble. You didn't know what you believed. If you'd have known what you believed, because that's what I believed, we all believed it, we all taught it. We all taught that we were going to have to go to the white throne judgment and be judged. You say, "No, we didn't teach it." Well, that's right, because you didn't know anything about it. You didn't have enough spirituality to even understand it. You can go talk to Dick Addison sitting over there. He can tell you the Presbyterian argued over predestination. Right? At least they did talk about it. Then your Methodists, they didn't care anything about predestinations or anything. Your Baptists used to talk a little about it. But see, we come into the message, we begin to find out what it's all about. And see, that's what happened. When you receive the new birth, the prophet said you heard from your theophany. You begin to realize who you are. The prophet began to tell you who you are. That you're a Christian. And if your name was ever written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it was written out before the foundation of the world. But yet you're going through the religious order of the natural life to come to accepting that Jesus Christ. And if you don't go through justification, chops off the pice. Sanctification, to have your name written in the book, cleansed and set aside for service. You don't have the new birth today. So then you're lost. It's just like I mentioned there the other day about the 1977, the church world went into total darkness. I was asked the question, could anybody be saved after then? I said, I told you not to think that. I told you not to think that 77 meant you couldn't be saved. But there's one thing about it. How many of you here say that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost after 1977? How many, just raise your hand. Some are 77 or after. You know that when before you received the Holy Ghost, you was in total darkness. So you're part of the church world system that went into darkness in 1977. That's simple, isn't it? Don't mean you can't be saved. That was the first thing they told us when they come in the message. You couldn't be saved after 63. I said, I'm sorry for you to believe that. Because God saved me. That's how I know that redemption wasn't over. I said, my Bible said redemption was over before the foundation of the world. And you're arguing about some 3.5 or 7 or some time. But listen, chop off your past sins, justification. Become part of a religious order centered around the worship of God at sanctification. Begin to hear the word. It begins to come into our life. But then one day you got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, that unclean spirit will come back. And that's what's happened to most people. The unclean spirit, the prophet says, comes back, makes you a religious person. Now that's what your prophet said about it. Makes a religious person out of you, a twofold child of hell. Then you start quoting Brother Branham. I always was eternal. I don't care what they talk about. They talk about justification, sanctification. We all above there. We ain't even talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost no more. We just always was eternal. Hell's going to be full of people like that. Because they don't know the truth. But there's one thing about it. Lula knows the truth. They may not agree with it. You may not accept it, but you've heard it. Because you've heard this man preach over and over and over that you must be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost to have the new birth. Amen. See, then what happens? Then God imparts unto you what was before the foundation of the world. He brings it to you into this realm.
Right. Amen.
The new birth brings that eternal life that God had, what do you call it, reserved or waiting for you to come? The part that you were to receive to be the children of God? He had that waiting. And the day you received the new birth, that was that life. Then you begin to think about the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. But if you don't approach it that way, you can't have eternal life. I don't care who you are. You only get eternal life by the new birth. And if you're not born again, you still got that sins there. It's still being recorded. Because everything from justification chops off your past sin. But from then on, it's being recorded. And even after we're born again, you think we can go live like the devil? Don't you think God's keeping a record of us? No, all of my record went out and I got the new birth. My marriage and divorce situation was straightened up when I got the new birth. Not when you got the new birth as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not when you received the new birth, your marriage and divorce situation wouldn't straighten out because you didn't even know you had it. If it is, why do you have to accept the grace? If the new birth took care of all of your marital problems, why do you have to accept the new birth? Because that's what's taught in this message. The day I got the new birth, that settled all of mine. It doesn't matter. Everything's gone. You got quotes. But why did the prophet have to give a grace? Oh, I guess it was for everybody else but you. Sorry to be that blunt. But listen, folks. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then you heard this message, or come into the message, receive the Holy Ghost, whatever it was, then you begin to hear from God. He begin to call you higher. You begin to think about the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. You begin to read the prophet's message. You begin to realize what's going on. You know what you've done? You heard from your theophany. You heard from Almighty God. You started growth development. And in growth development, then the prophet says, invisible union, now your old book is gone and your name is transferred. Now what's he saying? Come on, what's the prophet saying? When he's always taught before and after then that there was no such thing as a new name being written in heaven. There's no such thing as a name being written down when you get born again. That's what we Baptists used to believe. Baptists used to believe they'd take that, what little old card you had, it was about something about that size, you know. And man, that dated down there, Ryan received the new birth on certain date, become a member of this church. And they believed that when that happened, your name was written in glory. That's why they cherish that little piece of paper, because if you destroyed the little piece of paper and everything, see, then you'd think that, well, maybe I can be lost because I don't have my paperwork. Yeah. Not making no light. The light is made of me and you. Not somebody out there. But listen. Why did the prophet say it is now transferred? Okay. People won't attack that part of it. Now you know it's true. They won't attack what he's saying there. They'll quote what he says. But have you ever heard anybody explain what he's talking about when he said transferred? What's your thoughts about what he's talking about when he said transferred? Because there's no such way of saying, now this is going to get rough because I'm going to say it the best way I know how to say it, and then the people are going to misunderstand me. Because you say you're going to be trying to correct Brother Branham. No. I'm trying to put together what Brother Rand said. He said your name was transferred. In other words, you realized your name was already in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's transferred. It ain't something you got to race out here and put it over here. The prophet's done explained that the Baptists think that if your name was written in heaven and something happened to be took out, there's just a blank spot. He said that's not true. He said, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But this is what I'm trying to get you to see. When you got the new birth, you come in this message, you begin to hear of the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. Now you're beginning to realize, I did come up through there and repented of my sins. I got rid of the world, but I become a religious order that put me in the worst place it could ever be. But God come down in that and gave me the new birth. And brought me out of that and brought me into the message of the hour that I could realize what's been taking place. And what's been taking place is now I found out my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God didn't have to transfer it. That's words. The simple revelation is you find out your name was already there. But there's one thing you got to do. You got to realize that you got more to deal with than Lamb's Book than Book of Life. Book of Life don't give you eternal life. That's why it's at the White Throne Judgment. To have your name in the Book of Life doesn't give you eternal life. To have your name written in heaven doesn't give you eternal life. Come on. It doesn't give it to you. That's why it's at the White Throne Judgment. The Book of Life is at the White Throne Judgment to judge the people. And if your name is not written, now, the bride's sitting on the throne, all right? Now we have to back down to the rest of the world. Foolish virgins and things. The bride's sitting on the throne. She is the Lamb's Book of Life. She's eternal with Him. Now drop back down. Watch the rest of them. Is your name in the book? Who was it? Daniel Curry? Is that the one? Where he had the dream or vision or whatever he had, you know, and he went to glory or went up, you know, and he knocked on the door at the pearly gates, and Peter come out, and he said, you know, he said, "I'm Daniel Curry." He said, "Let me look on the book." He looked on the book. He said, "I don't find your name." You remember the story? He said, "I thought, well, what am I going to do?" He said, "You can appeal to the white throne judgment." But he said, "When I got to the white throne judgment," he said, "and I realized," said, "they asked me," said, "Daniel Curry, have you ever lied?" You know, I'm just paraphrasing now. I may miss the points of you. "Have you ever lied?" He said, "I thought I'd never lied in my life." He said, "then everything come up in my mind that I'd ever little bitty thing that I had deceived with." "You ever stole anything, Daniel Curry?" He said, "then I realized, hey, I thought I've never stole nothing." But he said, "in the presence of that light," he said, "I realized that I had done little things wrong." And he said, "I was waiting for him to say, walk away into judgment." He said, "when the sweetest voice he ever heard stepped out and said, Daniel Curry stood for me on earth. Now let me stand for him." Because there will be people, we'll get in the church age book with it, there will be people at the white throne judgment that their names were not written in the book of life on a religious, listen now, I'm saying it the way I want to say it, their names were not written there as a religious order of people. But a record was made that they done a religious act. Because a cup of water in my name won't be forgotten, Jesus said, in this world or the world to come. They've done a religious act. They've done something that brought it to a position to where they can be given eternal life. Now, listen. At the white throne judgment, the book of life will be there. A decision will be made whether or not you can go into eternal life. Now you watch why the prophet had to say transferred. Because when you come to that position, I'm talking about somebody that's not a Christian now goes there. I'm talking about somebody that's not a born-again believer now. We've uncovered the Lamb's Book of Life. It's back here. But the Book of Life now is what we're talking about. So when you come to that place, and the Book of Life is there, see, then your name can be transferred at that time. The foolish virgin's name will be transferred from the Book of Life to the Lamb's Book of Life. Because they'll be given eternal life, won't they? Won't the fifth sealed Jew, won't all the others be given eternal life? So their name can be transferred. So you see why the prophet had to use the word transferred. And yet the people of the message said, well, that won't work, transferred. It works perfect. Because he's got to cover a whole, Brother Branham is doing exactly what I've just done. This Bible has many sections to it. To reveal the complete plan of redemption. The book of life is many sections to it to reveal the complete plan of redemption. People will be given eternal life at the white throne judgment, and it'll say unto them, enter into you. Now this is for the bride, we know, but it'll say for them at the white throne judgment, enter into the joys of the Lord prepared for thee before the foundation of the world. That will be written there for them. That's for them. See, the Bible speaks of two things. It'll speak of you, speak of somebody else. So at the white throne, their names will be transferred from the book of life into the Lamb's book of life. Then there won't be no book of the living. There won't be no thy book or book of the living. There'll only be the Lamb's book of life, eternal life. Because there won't be no judgment there after the white throne. Because all will be made new according to Isaiah 65. All is made new. Because then everybody will have eternal life. But it's imparted unto them because of something they done or whatever in their life. But not so with you and I. Because we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. I found out my name was transferred because I know my name was in the book of life, because I come to a religious order. And I found out it was transferred. What does that mean to me? Not that it was transferred like that. No. It means all of this is gone. Come on. All of this land, this book of life is gone. This book of the sinners, this books, all of this is gone. I only have the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Eternal life is a person, not a doctrine.
Right. Amen.
See, I found out my name was transferred, Brother Gary. I found that out from the prophet. Now you go read Invisible Union, you'll see he's exactly in total Bible context, because he left it to where some people's name could be transferred one day. Had he not left it in Invisible Union, it's just like in the Bible, if there ain't no place in here for you, you have no choice, right? That's why that some, their names were never written nowhere, so there'd be no choice. There won't be a white throne to decide whether they can go to glory or not. The choice was already made here. So I found out my name was in the book of life. Right. But now I know my name is in the Lamb's book of life. Because I know what happened. Eternal life. The greatest thing you could ever speak of. And to realize that all of these books one day will be gone. All of these records and things will be gone. And there won't be no judgment. There won't be none in eternity of a judgment. But now listen. If we can't see that that old book is gone, then we're going to have to give an account. See? So don't use the prop-up excuse that the new birth took care of everything I had any trouble with. Because why would you still need temperance? Why would you need patience? The prophet says you need temperance. That's after you're born again. See, that's why that there will be a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. And like I said there Sunday, or when was it? I said, you better hope that I'm right about what I say. Because one split second, right now, one split second and your heart stops and that's it. What if you had a wrong thought just as that happened? Where would you go? Where would you go? You'd go to the judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. That will be somewhere in life after the rapture. I don't know where to place it, what to do, but I know it has to be there. Because we do have problems. We do have problems every day. The prophet said it, and I got a stack of them. Be glad for you to look at them. He says, we're all going to give an account. I know what he says. I've got them also. He said, we give an account here. Because you see, if I give an account here, I don't have to give an account nowhere else. If I straighten up what's wrong here, I don't have to straighten it up later. But if I don't straighten up everything here, somewhere they got to be straightened up. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's all right. That's what I believe. And I believe your prophet said it, because like I said, I got a lot of places where he said, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat. And you know he's already taught that you're not going to the white throne judgment. He taught that from 49 to 65, so you know he's not talking about that. then think of these things. The plan of salvation is very simple. Repent of your sins. Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're lost. Then ask God to just fill you with His love and to reveal to you that your name is there. Now let me put it one more way and then I'll quit. The prophet was talking about in the seals about searching the book. You remember that? He said, that's what happens in the seals. He said, that's the searching of the book. And he said, if it can be searched all the way back to the beginning and find no mark against you. Now, come on. He said, everything's fine. He said, because that's what we're doing. He said, we want the abstract title deed to eternal life. And he said, that means there's nothing against it nowhere. Because it's been searched all the way back. When it searched back and found out we didn't have nothing against us. See, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to make sure I get everything covered here. Because I don't want to have to go there and have to answer for anything. Now, I was asked this question the other day about something you think. You know, you can't help but think wrong thoughts. Because Satan gives you those thoughts. Do not try as a human being to stop the thoughts because you'll go crazy trying it. I've tried it. I'll tell you my word for it. I've tried to stop those things. Brother Moat told me, he said, Brother Dale, you're trying your best to stop from thinking. I said, you're exactly right because I don't want to think wrong. He said, yeah, but you can't help that thinking wrong. He said, but you entertaining those thoughts is where the problem's at. The day the change comes, you're going to be standing there as a human mortal having problems. But you're going to get to the place, like I told a person the other day, I believe those that take the change are going to come to the place until they're going to have this slate wiped clean. And they're not going to be concerned. But others who go by the grave may have to be concerned. I believe those that take that change, that you know what I'm talking about, the life, the living that is changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, that person is going to be somebody that comes to the place in God until they know all is well. All's gone. And that's what I want, don't you? I want to be to the place that where it doesn't matter to me that I can just say, Danny, forgive me. He said, well, Brother Dale, never done nothing. I said, well, just in case I did. Just in case I did. He said, well, that's silly. No, that's just human. I want all my records clean, don't you? Come on, Brother Boy. I want everything clean, don't you? I want it to be where that all is well. Brother Dick's going to take it down. All is well. It don't matter with us about your work clothes, Brother Boyd. Come on. You got work clothes on, you come from work, whatever. Put your tie on Sunday. Amen. And Brother Gary's got the problem all the time. Let's stand together. I hope you understand. Bring your church age book Sunday. We'll cover the four groups of people, and then you'll see what I've been talking about tonight. Fit right in. But I wanted to make sure that you didn't misunderstand me, because a couple of questions was asked about what I was talking about, and I saw that it didn't seem to be totally understood. So I hope that you'll go back and listen and see that the Bible is the book of life. But there's an eternal section in this. And one day, all of these things, all these problems and things won't have to be wiped out. I don't mean that now. But when all is made new, becomes a different book. Okay, go ahead, Brother. What? So my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Do you? I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Why you want to see? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Oh. Hallelujah. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Pour out the rain, Lord. Pour out the natural rain. Pour out the spiritual rain. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Let's just sing, I bless your name. So that's what we do, isn't it? We bless His name. Amen. Remember now, the fellowship meeting, if anybody wants to go, let us know. Prison chain with bleeding stripes, all inside, let's pray that night. And in the pain, begin to sing. Your chains were loose, and they were free. Amen, right? I bless your name, do you? I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. Anybody have a need? I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and pray by those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Amen, right? We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. Bless your name. We bless your. Who is he? You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. Amen. That it. We bless his name. Amen. Prophet said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. So that's what we want to see in it. Remember, service is Sunday. Be much in prayer. Wade and June be traveling with them, and just pray that the Lord would bless and be with all of us and lead us in understanding. You know, like I said, I was getting my hair cut today, and The girl, you know, we talk a good bit about the Bible and things, and I get into a few things with her, and Wade's talked with her on some things. But she said, because, you know, we're always talking about missionary work. She said, Sam said, just think a little bitty group of y'all people. Said, y'all do so much in the line of trying to help others. She said, that's just wonderful. She said, whereas we have big groups and things and don't do very much. See, you'll get a crown one day for what you've given. What you've done and give and what we've put out, God knows. I told her, I said, well, I said, you know, with all we've spent and all we've done and all we've traveled and going around the country and things, I said, I got an email back the other day from a place somewhere in Africa that a person said, I got one of your tapes and listened to it, Brother Dale, and said, the Lord saved me. I said, then that's worth it all. The one person that would be in a crown to say that's worth it all. He has risen from the dead and He is Lord. You're dismissed. Sing that to one another as you leave. Every knee.